Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. So Donald Trump marked the one-year anniversary of the Mueller investigation by once again, of course, saying that Obama was spying on him. Then there was the whole, you know, they planted someone. And then there was the whole, you know, it's now bigger than Watergate. You know, there's all kinds of fun, interesting stuff going on that just makes you go, how exactly did we get to this place? How exactly is this working out? I mean, come on. Just remarkable on so many levels to me. It's absolutely incredible that it's just happened. Anyway. So what's going on is, you know, yesterday we talked a lot about the guy from Oklahoma. And this is one of those things where you just go, you got the guy from Oklahoma, Republican candidate for governor. He's talking, hey, you know, we should just get rid of those poor people, those lazy people, those hungry people, those disabled, just get rid of them. Just get rid of them all because they're all bad anyway. They're all lazy. Hey, if they can take care of themselves, great. If not, the punchline, let them starve to death. And you go, yep, I've been saying this for a long time. That's the Republican Party's bumper sticker for the future. It is who they are. They're the pay or die party. And if you don't have the money, sorry, brother. Good luck on the street corner. Anyway, let's get some thoughts from our favorite reporter from Raw Story, Sarah Burris. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Sorry the video didn't work.
So, Governor Barnett, huh? You know, Oklahoma gonna make America dead again.
Man, that thing kind of freaked me out because, you know, I've got my grandfather in an assisted living center. So I was like, oh, if this is how it's going to be, then we're going to have to move to Texas.
But isn't this, I mean, honestly, Sarah, I mean, isn't this what the party stands for? I mean, isn't this what a good number of Republicans have been floating for a very long time? It's just now they kind of feel with, you know, the guy we've got in the White House, they kind of feel emboldened that now's the time to, you know, go full steam ahead with their plans.
Absolutely. This is basically what Reaganism, you know, was like, where I feel like he was kind of didn't really care about the mentally ill. He cut funding to homeless populations. He ignored the AIDS crisis for as long as he did. And so this idea of, you know, the weak, the vulnerable, the least among us, right? It's like there's a whole group in the Republican Party who, honest to God, believes that we should just put them out of their misery. And I just don't understand how that kind of morality could ever possibly exist this day and age. Like, this is something straight out of the 40s.
Yeah, I mean, it's just remarkable. And, you know, I got to be honest, as I was reading it, and, you know, and I told you this when we were going back and forth, there was part of me that goes, you know, this is just a troll. I mean, this is, you know, there was so much that was inconsistent in his website, so much that, you know, and I guess it's just, you know, the lack of political savvy and a really understanding of even how to have an opinion about something, that this guy, you know, just spews stuff that is nonsensical. How much of it can be forgiven as, you know, he's just stupid?
Well, I mean, he is an Oklahoma Republican, so, I mean, just look at our governor.
All right.
But with my conspiracy theory about him, though, is that I don't think he's actually a real candidate. I think he was asked to run, and he was asked to run so far right so that the front runner, who's the lieutenant governor in Oklahoma, his name is Todd Lamb. Todd Lamb is really extreme. Like, he is to the right of Mary Fallon, who is the anti-teacher crazy governor that's there now. And so this idea of Todd Lamb running for governor, he's just not even close to mainstream. And after years of failed policies, after years of just like a sad economy, you know, bridging, we're like on the border of both literally and metaphorically on the border of being Kansas. So, you know, I just feel like this is an example of a campaign where they thought maybe if we had somebody else to make Todd Lamb look a little bit more mainstream, that might help us. And so that's kind of my conspiracy theory. I have absolutely no proof of that or nothing to back it up. But it's one of those weird things where you're like, this dude seems a little bit too crazy to, you know, even be allowed to file for office.
But it makes sense. I mean, if you want to see, if you want crazy to seem sane, get somebody who's really crazy. It's kind of like the old Rodney Dangerfield thing. If you ever saw the movie Back to School, he says, if you want to look thinner, surround yourself with fat people. So, I mean, if you want to look sane, surround yourself with really crazy people. I get it.
I mean, maybe it's a strategy now.
But, you know, how much crazier can we get? I mean, you know, it just seems to me every day there's another story of us losing our collective minds. I look at this attorney in Manhattan, and I know you've been following this as well. And fortunately, his landlord, I guess, kicked him out of his legal office. But this Aaron Schlossberg, I guess his name is, evidently has been going crazy on people in New York for a while now. You know, this anti-immigrant rant that people are finally now going, no more, stop.
Yeah, what's crazy is that it took this long for this dude to become famous and for his racism to become, you know, worldwide, a worldwide phenomenon, a complete freak show, honestly. And, I mean, you mentioned that he got kicked out of his building. They had all kinds of protesters outside that building. They had a mariachi band. They had a taco truck, which is just awesome. That sounds like the best party ever to me. But obviously, if you're going to attack Latinos and anybody who is from a Spanish-speaking country, perhaps you want to avoid that. So they kicked him out. And what's really funny is that his own security guards of the building were horrified by it, and they were hoping that he would come in so they could throw a shoe at him. That's
nice.
What they said.
And obviously, they didn't have guns.
Yeah, I mean, these are just security guards, and you know, most of those guys are either, you know, former cops or former military, or, I mean, in my case, it was just a sweet little old man in my building for a while. But yeah, this is just the weirdest thing. And I there are so many videos of him. I mean, once this came out, everybody started posting, be like, oh my God, I know that guy. Here's the video that I took of him at this weird anti-Jewish protest, or this weird, you know, pro-Trump rally or something, because he's an avid pro-Trump fan, of course. So, I mean, here you go. And every racist in America, you now have your perfect lawyer, since Michael Cohen is kind of busy right now.
Yeah, look at that. I mean, you know, well, there's always David Duke. I mean, I'm sure he can help a little bit. Now, look, I guess this Schlossberg's going to need a job. Maybe the Trump administration can now find a lawyer.
Maybe. There you go. Like, this dude would be perfect
for the
White House.
Right up their alley. Yeah, because the one they've got, evidently they're not paying Giuliani, which you go, hey, you know, that's probably, for what he's doing, probably not a bad price.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be sort of running things into the ground and completely screwing everything up, which, hey, more power to him. Here, have another microphone.
No, I'm arguing that he's doing exactly what their plan is. They're trying to muddy the waters to the point. I mean, the epiphany today is evidently Obama and the FBI and the Justice Department planted spies in the campaign.
Yeah, and that has been a conspiracy theory that Rush Limbaugh's been pushing out a little bit. So you know that if it started there, it's probably going to be make-believe. But you're exactly right. They're trying to muddy the waters. They're trying to confuse the American public. And spin their own reality, which is what they've done for the last 2 years. I don't think that's going to work with Robert Mueller. I don't think he cares. And I think when you impanel a grand jury who has millions of pages of documents over this, trying to put Giuliani on Fox News and putting that up against 1.2 million pages of documents saying otherwise, it's probably not going to do anything for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me. Now, and there's part of me that goes, you know, maybe the FBI should have had people within the campaign with all of that we're now finding out about all of the ties that they've had with the Russians. And even Giuliani is now coming around and going, well, you know, they had ties. And because Trump himself said, you know, no ties, no buildings, no dealings, nothing. And they're
it's a witch hunt.
Yeah, witch hunt, hoax, all that. And now they're running that back to saying, well, you know, we had those connections. Yeah, that all that stuff happened. But it's not collusion. And, oh, by the way, collusion's not illegal.
Yeah, that was the crazy thing that he just sort of said in passing, and nobody really picked up on it, where he said, well, yeah, you know, we got all of this dirt on Clinton, but we never used it, so therefore it's not illegal. And it's like, dude, that's not how that works. That's not how any of this works.
I mean, it's amazing to me. But, you know, here's the thing. Fox News was running that narrative about a year ago. It was their narrative. Well, of course, collusion's not illegal. You know, Hillary Clinton colludes with people all the time. Obama colludes. You know, and you go, no, they weren't doing it with a foreign adversary. They weren't doing it with a leader and a government that wants to bring us down. Just kind of throwing that out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the collusion. I mean, everybody keeps using that word. What it really is, legally speaking, and I want to preface this by saying I'm not an attorney, though I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express a couple of years ago. And the
anointed,
right? It's a conspiracy, the crime of conspiracy with a foreign nation to overthrow an election, particularly when that foreign nation also hacked an election. And I mean, that is what is completely and totally illegal. So you can keep saying, oh, collusion's not illegal. That's fine. That's totally fine. Because they're going to get you on conspiracy. They're going to get you on obstruction of justice. They're going to get you on all of the other things. And everybody you know is going to go to jail.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm really hoping. I got to be honest. You know, I remember when Obama took office in 2009. I was, you know, I had my bowl of popcorn. I was ready. I was ready for the parade of perp walks. All of those bankers who had crashed the economy, all of those scumbags who ripped off old ladies' pension funds and stole from my 401k and made it a 200.5. I was ready. I'm going, yes, we're going to finally get them. Perp walk paradise. Here it comes. And nothing. I'm hoping that this is not another one of those moments where we go, yeah, you know, they did all this stuff. And yeah, the mercenary was in the Seychelles with the Russian assets. And yeah, little Junior was having meetings with a Russian lawyer. And yeah, Cushy is, you know, doing his thing. And yeah, Michael Cohen was taking all this money. And yeah, Felix Sater. And yeah, Carter Page. And just go down the whole list. And then nothing. And then there's this kind of like an anticlimactic moment where they go, yeah, it's all true, but next.
I wonder the same thing, frankly. My hope is that because we're looking at least 45 indictments now, I think is what we're at so far, the tally. I feel like I need to have like a little marker board on my wall to check them off every time. My hope is that there will at least be somebody that goes to jail. Even if it doesn't happen, though, I feel like if people are found guilty, if it's completely obvious, if all of this information becomes public, and even Republicans start admitting, well, yeah, there was actually some collusion. We did actually speak to the Russians. Yes, there was this bizarre thing happening with Cambridge Analytica. All of those things, I feel like at the very least, hopefully, we'll get some political success out of it. So maybe we'll score big in the midterms. If we don't score big in the midterms, then hopefully the next election will be even better and we'll get to get rid of Trump and hopefully get a nice, squeaky, clean, ethical Democrat in office, just like what happened after Nixon.
I hope so as well. But I still want the perp walks. I still want the jail. Yeah. I want to build that. Trump wants to build a wall. I want to build a jail. I want to build an annex on the San Quentin just for these people. So that, you know, not because I do dislike all of them. So that's actually not accurate. But so that it's kind of a monument to here's what you don't do ever again.
I agree. And that is one of the things that I'm also really still with you frustrated about, there not being any Wall Street banksters that went, you know, to jail. There's like one person, I think, that went to jail, and it was a low level, you know, nobody.
So, I can't remember his name. He was an Indian guy, if I remember right.
But this is an example of, this is another incident where justice needs to have its day. We need to prove that justice does exist in this country, and it didn't with Wall Street. So if we go through another thing again where all of these people did all of these illegal things and nobody goes to jail for it, I'm going to be like, come on, what kind of country are we now? Like, is this really who we are, where nobody goes? Like, if you're wealthy enough, you get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that bothers me. I don't want that to be the message that, you know, if you're connected, you know, crime pays.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, it just seems that basic decency thing. I mean, that's all. And now I'm looking at this theme park in Indonesia. I'm sure you've seen this story where we're going to have a Trump golf course and a couple of Trump hotels and I guess a residence and all of this stuff. And it's just basically a big, giant, sloppy, wet kiss. And of course, you know, huge amounts of money into the Trump organization while Trump's president, while we're bailing out ZTE, evidently.
Yeah, this is a great example of corruption at its best. And there are actual laws about this. And then there are these gray areas. And what's crazy to me is that, you know, nobody's really making that big of a deal out of it. And, I mean, maybe it's because it's in Indonesia and half the country doesn't even know where that is. I would be surprised, honestly, if Trump could find Indonesia on a map. But, you know, this is another example of somebody being able to screw people over and use their position to their benefit. And it used to be in this country that you couldn't do that, that that was unethical, that that was illegal. And now, I don't know.
Well, we've gotten to the point to where, you know, it's so bad that we don't even pay attention anymore, I think. I've had conversations with people going, I don't even want to know at this point. We've been almost so desensitized. That, you know, I literally know people go, I don't want to know. Wake me up when it's over.
That's what they count on. That is the one thing that I keep trying to discourage people, because I get it. I'm there. Like, I'm so tired of this crap, and I have to deal with it all day, every day. And if I don't watch it on the weekends, then I'll miss something, and then I'll come to work on Monday and be like, oh, crap, I missed all this stuff. So this is a great case of, I know it's exhausting, I know it's overwhelming, I know it's emotionally taxing, but they count on you being overwhelmed by it. I actually read a study about how your brain processes lies, because, you know, obviously Trump lies all the time, and your brain can only process so many lies at once. So if you throw out, within the context of a conversation, if you throw out like 30 lies, you know, in a speech, your brain can't process all of that. And so I just wonder, is this another example of it where it's just like, we're going to do whatever we want. We're going to be as corrupt as we want. Something we might, you know, eventually become, be held accountable for, but for the rest of it, you know, we'll get away with it and still make $1 billion.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know who the comedian was, but he was like, you know, if you kill somebody, you know, they lock you up, and you know, you kill five people, you know, they execute you. If you kill a million people, you know, they're like, hey, way to go, nice job.
That's Eddie Izzard. You're thinking, well done, well done. You killed 150 million people. You must get up very early in the morning.
Exactly. There you go. But, I mean, the crimes are so varied and so many. It's almost, you know, it's almost going to be like, wow, you know, they were workers.
That in and of itself is a conspiracy. That you have these people who used to be prosecutors, like Rudy Giuliani, who knows how to manipulate the law and has gone from, you know, being a public servant to somebody who is using his position and using his knowledge of the law to screw over America. I mean, this used to be the guy who was the mayor of America. This is the guy that everybody was like, yes, you are this progressive Republican who is pro-choice and pro-LGBT, and you made us feel strong and amazing after, you know, this terrible thing happened to our country. And now look at it. Like, oh my God, this is what he's going to be remembered for forever.
No, I mean, I said before, you know, the Dillingers of the world, the Bonnie and Clydes, they're going to have nothing on the theft that this administration has undergone. And last story I wanted to get to before I ask your favorite story of the week. evidently we're exporting crazy, because there was a woman at a Tony Hortons or a Tim Hortons, a Canadian woman, really? Dropping trow in the middle of the Tim Hortons?
Apparently she was so angry with her service that she just dropped her yoga pants and took a crap on the floor and then flung her feces at the dude like a zoo monkey. And you're like, okay, that's where we're going now.
And the thing is for minimum wage, are you really going to put up with that
blank? Right? I mean, I was making a lot of crap jokes because I was like, man, we got to talk about this crap. And then everybody responded to me on Twitter and they were like, really? Really?
I hope they've got mental health treatment centers up there. I know their health care is really good. Let's hope mental health is part of that. And finally, what's your outrage of the week? What's your top story? What's caught your attention this week?
Oh, my outrage is, we were talking a little bit about the craziness of campaigns and the way that that Democrats placate to conservatives. And my colleague, Tana, wrote this amazing piece on it, and she was able to incorporate some of her interviews that she had done at the NRA convention a few weeks ago. And basically, it's this idea that came off of a Washington Post article op-ed. And it just basically says Democrats are too nice. Like, they're trying to court all of these conservative votes, which I have said for years, this is a perfect example of, you know, when Democrats have to fight for conservative voters, then that means that they have to vote more conservatively. Even if they don't have those values, they automatically think, oh, crap, I've got to, vote my constituency. And those people were leaning a little bit more to the right. And so I just never understood why Democrats couldn't just register people to vote, spend the extra money to run an actual field program and get people out to the polls.
Yep.
Instead, they want to dump millions of dollars on network TV to capture grandma who's watching Wheel of Fortune. And I'm like, that makes no sense to me.
No, it makes no sense to me. And also, I catch myself doing this. There's, just today I'm going back and forth with a postal worker who's, a five. He's a total five, hates unions, everything about, they're all corrupt and they're all bad. And they protect lazy people. And I'm going, why am I arguing with this guy? There's no changing his mind. He's an absolute five. He's one of these people who's benefited wildly from the union. Good wages, good conditions, good working conditions, all of that stuff. And yet he's going to, like the woman at the Tim Hortons, fling stuff all over it. And it just... I gotta, it's even myself. I go, you gotta let those people go. Sometimes go ahead, knock yourself out. Keep walking.
Yeah. There are so many people who, maybe they move around a lot. That's the big thing I've always said about young people, particularly millennials. We are a more transient generation because we've had to move where the jobs are. So we moved from our parents' house to college, back to our parents' house, to our whatever state we had to move to find our first job, like all of these different places. And that means you've got to track us down. You've got to figure out where we are and register us again over and over and over again. And then you've got to make sure you have our cell phone numbers because nobody uses a landline if you're under 35 years old. So, that just makes things really difficult for people running campaigns, but why don't you hire some staffers and make it happen?
I'm with you. No, and stand on your principles. And, none of this, you're right. The Democrats are always trying to be the big tent party. And, we encourage everyone and all that nonsense. How about having a set of values? Because I've asked this question for years. You ask a conservative why he's a conservative and why he votes for someone. It's always low taxes, smaller government, and guns. You ask a liberal, why they support liberals, and it's a lot of verbiage, it's a lot of nuance, it's a lot of, I care about others, and while that's all true, the messaging is terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible, and I think the sentiment in general is just terrible. Like, these are not your values. Why are you trying to compromise them when these are things that you hold very dear to you? Yeah. I don't get it.
It's crazy, crazy stuff, I'll tell you that. But, it is what it is. But, Sarah, I appreciate the time. It's always great talking with you.
It's great to talk to you, too. Have an awesome weekend.
I always enjoy our conversations. Thanks so much, Sarah Burris. Raw Story. Check out her work. Good stuff. Highly, highly suggest. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Red roses, too. I see them blue.
Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.